This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to the Judean town in the hill country. When she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
be to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope, joy, and obedience. Three words, three ideas, three threads, colors, if you like, that are all interwoven to our readings on this final Sunday of Advent. And it seems to me that undergirding them all is this idea of family. In our gospel lesson today, Mary and Elizabeth, they're related, of course. And of course, also at this time, they're both expectant mothers. But even deeper than this idea of individual family is that they're part of God's family, the family of God. And that every member of God's family has a part to play in God's plan to redeem the world. And in that process, in that participation with God to redeem the world, we will experience hope and joy. Following the examples of Christ and Elizabeth and Mary and John the Baptist, we, like they, are called to obedience. The prophet Micah penned the words of our first lesson almost 700 years before the birth of Christ. And Micah was best known as this prophet who prophesied the fall of both the northern and the southern kingdoms. He was not afraid to speak God's word of judgment against Israel, trying to call them to repentance. He was fearless in telling Israel to repent and turn back to God. But our lesson today shows that he could also speak a gentle and a hopeful word. Today, Micah speaks very clearly about that long-awaited day of the Lord. And it's such a hopeful message. God's anointed one, whose origin is of old, from ancient days, he says, will come and feed God's flock with the strength of the Lord. And they'll live secure lives. The Messiah is going to be a Messiah of peace. And all of this comes out of Bethlehem, one of the least of the clans of Judah. And so it's a hopeful message. This day of the Lord was anticipated by all the faithful Jews. Under King David and even for a while under King Solomon, the nation of Israel thrived. But as Solomon drifted away from the Lord, the nation of Israel went into decline, eventually split to two kingdoms. And the northern kingdom was conquered by Assyria, and the southern kingdom would eventually fall to the Babylonians. But despite these woes, Micah paints this wonderful, hopeful picture for the people of Israel and tells them that out of Bethlehem, God is going to raise up a great king who will reign in righteousness. There'll be great joy in the kingdom of God. And this is such a good message for us to hear in the season of Advent, because we anticipate the arrival of Christ, the arrival of the Christ child, the arrival of Christ the King, the same way that Israel anticipated this day of the Lord, where everything would be set to rights. In our second lesson from the book of Hebrews, this idea of obedience is introduced. And the writer of Hebrews puts the words from Psalm 40 into Jesus' mouth. It says, God's not interested in burnt offerings or temple sacrifices. Those old ways are being replaced with something brand new. And Jesus says, I have come to do your will, O God. Jesus is obedient to God's will. And then gladly offers his body as the ultimate sacrifice, the one that saves the entire family of God. And of course, Christ does this with such utter humility. He's not interested in advancing his own agenda or doing his own thing. He's only interested in doing God's will. What a great lesson that is for us. But I think it's in our gospel lesson and in our psalm of the day, which is taken from our gospel lesson, that all three of these threads are woven together. It's all there. Hope, obedience, and joy. Especially joy. And it seems to me that all these beautiful ideas just sort of rest on this firm foundation of family. I mean, it's one of our congregational values. And it means more than just individual families. It includes the entire family of God. And we see that importance of family in the very first line of our gospel reading. And we got to remember that Mary has just heard from the angel Gabriel that she's about to give birth and be the mother of the Messiah. And he just sort of adds, and oh, by the way, and you know, your cousin Elizabeth, you know, the one that everybody thought was too old to have a child, she's expecting. And she's 6 months along. And I just love Mary's immediate response. You know, she doesn't start to fret or worry about her own situation. She has complete faith and trust in God. She tells the angel, here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. And it's the very next line that is the first line of our gospel lesson. And we find that Mary, she's not worried about herself at all. She hurries off to the hill country to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Family is important to her, and it's about to get even more important because she is, after all, carrying the Son of God. But rather than focus on herself, she rushes off to help a family member who is in need. Our text says Mary stayed with Elizabeth 3 months, probably until Elizabeth had her baby, one we know as John the Baptist. St. Luke's description of this meeting between Elizabeth and Mary, it's just amazing to me. There's something beautiful and deep going on there that I think sometimes we just miss because we are in such a hurry to get to that beautiful song that Mary sings, her Magnificat, that we kind of just skip over the very first part of this reading. We'll talk about the Magnificat in a minute, but I want us to take a look at how those ideals that we're talking about earlier, they show up. They're so obvious in verses 41 through 45. And then I think we begin to understand why this is such a good story for us for the season of Advent. We can't help but notice the joy that comes when Mary and Elizabeth meet. But besides the joy, there's something very deep and spiritual taking place here. Our text says when Mary enters the house and greets her relative Elizabeth, that Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is not just some kind of a throwaway line. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit and she speaks. She begins to prophesy. The Spirit is speaking through her and she exclaims in this loud voice, "Blessed are you among women and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me?" Elizabeth is referring to Mary as the mother of her Lord. She describes the child Mary is carrying as blessed. This is happens the minute they meet. And you remember, Mary has rushed to the hill country right after she's gotten this own word from the angel. They haven't had a chance to talk about this. This is something that's revealed to Elizabeth through the Holy Spirit when she's filled with the Spirit. And I absolutely love what comes next. Still speaking this prophetic word, Elizabeth says, "For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy." More joy. Elizabeth joyously receives Mary. And John the Baptist, even before he's born, leaps for joy in the presence of Jesus. It's like even while he's still in the womb, John is fulfilling his job as the one who's supposed to announce the coming of the Messiah. I love that. This tight little family experiences the joy that comes from being together, of course, but also the joy that comes from being obedient to God's call on their life. You know, and let's not for a second forget that God's call wouldn't have been an easy one for any of these folks to answer. Even if Mary was able to deal with the shame and potential danger that an unmarried, pregnant teenager would have faced, just the thought of actually giving birth and raising the Messiah, a little daunting. And you know, the future for a post-menopausal Elizabeth to give birth and raise a child, that would have been no picnic either. Yet both she and Mary seem to joyously and obediently respond to this call that God is making on their lives. And so does John the Baptist. Even while he's in the womb, he joyfully and obediently plays his part in announcing the one who's the hope of the world. Mary, Elizabeth, John, Jesus, yes, they're all related, all part of the same family. But even more importantly, they're obediently doing their part to bring forth the kingdom of God as part of the family of God. I'll leave you with one last thought about the importance of joy in this season of Advent. Mary's song, we know it as the Magnificat. It's our psalm for the day. It is nothing if not a song of pure joy for what God is doing through her. Mary, she just literally bursts into song, this wonderful song of praise at the magnitude of the power and the goodness of God that's being made known to her. And joy is so much a part of Luke's gospel that sometimes I think we just take it for granted. When John the Baptist is born, Luke tells us how Elizabeth's neighbors rejoiced with her. The angels tell the shepherds about the birth of Jesus. "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people." And there's also great joy at the end of Luke's gospel. In the last chapter, Luke 24, after the disciples have seen the risen Lord, Luke tells us how then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. And that's the proper way, is it not? To respond to the joy that God gives is to praise him. And so we do, just like the disciples did, just like Mary did in our lessons today. There is great joy, great hope that comes when we do our part as a member of God's family. And if you caught it, I don't know if you did, but this is exactly the sentiment that's in our prayer of the day when we ask, "May we receive you in joy and serve you always." Finally, I think I would be remiss today if I didn't also speak to a truth that far from being a time of joy, This particular season of Advent has been a time of great pain and struggle and a challenge for many of us this year. We lost our dear friend Jerry Steelman. And I found out yesterday that Annalene's mother passed away yesterday too. And she's on her way to St. George. And it's just no secret that many people struggle with pain and depression this time of year. Kind of a fact of life. And with that in mind, I want to just speak one last word of hope to this group. We need to hang on to hope. We're baptized children of God, adopted into the very family of God. And so we live in hope. We know that God is working to redeem the world and us as individuals. We know that God is merciful. We have God's promise that as His followers, we'll experience love, joy, and peace. You know, love, joy, and peace are the first three fruits of the Spirit that Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 5. And the kind of joy that God gives goes beyond, way beyond, mere happiness. We know that as part of God's family, we are not immune to grief or despair. Those feelings will come. But we have God's promise that they do not have the last word in our lives. The psalmist says, "Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes in the morning." And we hang on to that. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we advance the kingdom of God when we refuse to relinquish our joy, even when we're going through difficult times. And so my prayer this Advent, this last Sunday of Advent, that God would bless us and keep us close to Him in faith and keep us close to one another as we prepare to celebrate the birth of the Christ child. Amen.